The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The new planning and development bill passed by the Dáil last night by 72 votes to 60 following a contentious three-hour debate will pave the way for significant change to the planning system and on board Planola. However, the opposition argued that the controversial bill was rushed and did not allow for proper scrutiny. Now, it's not all the way yet. It has, of course, to go through the Seanad and then ultimately be signed by the President before it goes into law. I'm joined by Dara O'Brien, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage, TD for Dublin Fingal. Minister, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is going to overhaul the planning system and simplify it and get things moving fast. 800 pages, that's not going to simplify anything.
Well, I think if it's 3 years of very detailed work, I have to say, and that's the culmination of it last night, was the passing of the bill in the Dáil. So we've concluded all stages, both in Dáil and Seanad now, just so. And effectively, it'll go to the President. What this bill will give fundamentally is three things. It'll give certainty, it'll give clarity and consistency in our planning system, which is sorely needed, I would say. And I think if you spoke to a person on the street and you mentioned the word planning to them and asked them what's the first word that comes to their mind, they will say delays. And we cannot operate a planning system on 25-year-old legislation that was brought in for a different Ireland, for a different time. So we have worked really hard to update it, to bring in statutory timelines, to reform on board Planola.
Now, you had timelines, and on board Planola were obliged to give decisions in certain number of days, but they were totally ignored. If they missed the deadline, then there was no deadline. It went to infinity.
Absolutely, and you're right. And this is for the first time now across all of the planning decision authorities, including our local authorities, there will be statutory deadlines and timelines.
So how long will the local authority have? Someone puts in for the building, whether it's an extension or a housing development.
You'll allow, obviously, the public consultation, because it's important that third parties have their right to have their say. On the basis of that's 4 weeks, it's open for public consultation and submission, and 4 weeks for a decision.
So people put their notice of planning on the outside the premises or whatever. That's the same. That doesn't change.
No, that won't change.
Okay. But 4 weeks for passers-by to have a look at that.
Exactly. And then to make their submissions to us, which is important, because I absolutely respect and value the right of communities and individuals to have their say on the planning process. So it's not just about the planning applications, it's about how we plan for the future, to have what's called a plan-led approach. So our development plans now that are set out across our local authority will take a 10-year view as opposed to a 5-year view, because we need to be looking forward as to how our towns, villages and our cities actually develop.
Okay, but let's go back to the deadline. Sure. So someone then objects or whatever, puts in their tuppence halfpenny worth. How long does the council have to make a decision?
They'll have another 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah. So. And then if they, obviously they can refuse, they can grant, or they can seek what's called additional information. Yeah.
The problem isn't that a way to kick it down the road?
Yeah, but they can seek that once. Okay. And there's a clarification. So there's two other elements. What happened before, not in every case, but in many cases, and you would have seen this when in Bord Planola, is the frustration that's there is that the decision would be put off. And then a letter would issue to say, well, the decision date will be October. Another letter would issue, it'll be February. We have shortened that significantly.
So let's say they get their clarification, more information, etc. once. So that might be another, 4 weeks?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so
you're probably looking all in all to about 16 weeks if you go all the way through the process.
With the council and then to the board?
To the board.
How long does the board have?
Depending on the size of the development. Okay, so we've obviously strategic infrastructure. So things like our airports, our ports and that are given a longer length of time. But if one was going forward for, let's say, a housing development of over 100 homes, we actually changed this already, that there's a 16-week process there for decisions to be made, and 16 weeks up to 26 weeks. So you're looking at 6 months for a decision to be made, allowing all of the public consultation to happen. That's actually worked already, to be fair to the board. When I brought that change forward 2 years ago, that any development that came forward for 100 homes or more was effectively protected in the sense that it went through a streamlined process.
We saw the abuse of that, where someone puts in for 101 apartments. They know they're going to be turned down. They end up with 80 and they never have to subject themselves to public scrutiny because they went in.
Well, I changed that.
Yeah,
and
I know
we discussed that, and you're 100% right. What I did, a previous government's brought forward this fast-track planning, which went over the heads of communities and over the heads of local authorities. I abolished that. I said I'd do it in opposition. I did it in government. So we're back to a two-stage planning process. Local authorities, so people get to have their say at a local level. And then if they're not happy, or indeed, if the applicant is not happy, you go to An Bord Pleanála. An Bord Pleanála will now become An Coimisiún Pleanála, and it's not just a name change.
Is that putting lipstick on a pig?
No, it's not. And we've actually a new board and a new chairperson in place. I've reformed the appointment process. That's a public advertisement of jobs where people can apply like any normal job. I've got rid of the list system that was there, so we have the appropriate people in place. We've appointed the first 10 new board members through that. I've increased the number in the board up to 17. So we really need to resource
them. But there's unfinished business in the existing board, because there was a barrister's report, which we haven't seen yet, mm-hmm. which uncovered even more irregularities, shall we say. But we haven't been given detail of that. Have you been given detail?
No, I think there was a number of reports that were there and we commissioned them. There was one in particular that the people will know. There's a matter of a court case and there was a conviction there. But the board themselves have commissioned an internal report. I believe that report is with the new chairperson of the board. That's important that we look at that. But what I can say to you and say to your listeners is, An Bord Pleanála now is a very different place than it was 2 years ago. We've nearly 300 staff in place now. We've a full new board, a new chairperson, excellent people that are there. They're working through their backlog.
There was too cozy a relationship, though, between the people, the movers and shakers, the developers, who'd be going in on these strategic housing developments, and they'd get to know the planners. They'd be all kind of glad-handing and shaking hands, mm-hmm. and they're all old pals. Not a good relationship in terms of having objectivity and standing clear and not being influenced by, if you like, the glad-handing.
Well, I can tell you certainly that is not the case now. And I can absolutely say that we have a very professional board, excellent inspectors, a really good board that's in place. I think one of the things that you've raised, which is correct, when you had a planning process that applications just went straight to An Bord Pleanála, they were the go-to at that stage. That shouldn't have been the case. And that's why I was determined to abolish that system and to go back to a normal planning process, because communities and individuals need to have their say. That's how we get plans right. But really within this legislation, which has passed yesterday, will reform and update our planning legislation and our system for a modern Ireland that will underpin the delivery of the homes that we need. So this year, I think we will deliver close on 40,000 new homes.
Okay, now here you have a new system whereby mm-hmm. judicial review is not open to everyone as it currently is mm-hmm. until this becomes law. Under the new provisions, residents' associations and local community groups will only be able to take judicial reviews if they have a written constitution mm-hmm. and have a vote among the members,
sure.
but also they have to be in existence for how long?
For a year.
A year. Okay, yeah. So
it's for transparency.
Suddenly some guy comes along with this mad idea for a local neighbourhood mm-hmm. and everyone thinks it's mad in the neighbourhood, but they just don't happen to have a residents' association. That means under your 48-week rule or whatever it turns out to be, this will be done, dusted before they could constitute a residents' association and have a go.
Just the reason we're bringing in those provisions is for transparency's sake. So you need to know who is actually making observations and that the development will affect them in some way, shape or form. Okay, and that's important for transparency. Let's remember in the instance you put forward that every single individual as a person, a Dara O'Brien or Pat Kenny, can make his or her observation. What we had seen in some instances was groups being set up, and you've seen this reported on, to simply make observations on planning applications, to delay them, maybe in some instances to seek monetary compensation. So this was a provision that I think is a very sensible one, that it means it's very clear that if it's Main Street Residents Association, make an observation.
But all I'm saying is that
they have to be
you might say, God, look what they're thinking of building in my backyard. They're taking over the community space or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're doing that. We better form a residents association in order to object, because we need to. We won't have status to go for a judicial review unless we are that. And it'll be too late. It'll be done and dusted, gone.
But a group of individuals could come together. There's no issue with that. Like, the planning process is open. The third party observations is actually fully respected and enshrined and runs right the way through this legislation.
But judicial review?
Well, on the judicial review, a person or an existing, you know, an existing body could take a judicial review. We've also made sure we've protected the environmental NGOs within this, that other groups have who have interests from an environmental perspective, that they can come into the process at any stage, and even new environmental NGOs that are there. But like, why are we doing this? I think we got to take a step back. We're doing this because our planning laws are 25 years old and they're not fit for purpose for a modern day Ireland. That if we look at all the infrastructure that needs to be built in this country to deal with the infrastructural deficit, if we look at the homes that we're going to need for our people, at least 300,000 to the end of the decade, we need to have not just the legislation, but the system lined up to help to deliver that.
Okay, a question about some of the abuses that have happened, where planners have given permission, be it on Bord Pleanála or local councils, for developments which are actually in breach of their own county development plan. Now, what does the county development plan mean? A lot of work goes in and a lot of input from all sorts of interested parties, and it's finally published, and you'd imagine it's sacrosanct. Turns out it's not. Why not?
It is now, and it should be, and you're right, because what I want is that planning is from the ground up. So our local councillors, assisted by their communities, are the ones who put forward their development plans. That's why in this legislation I've allowed for a 10-year development plan. And what that really does is means people are very clear over a medium term what's actually going to happen in my area, and we'll be more prescriptive about the zoning. So if, let's say, the field beside a town is designated for residential, it should be clear to people, residential, what density, what type of height. So a plan-led type approach on that. So the development plans must be respected. In fairness, the Office of the Planning Regulator does a good job there as well. What happens currently is if a development plan is passed, and the development plan itself looks like it's in breach of anything, the OPR will call that out. But what you're referring to is when the board in the past may have set aside...
So the council says six stories allowed here or eight stories there, and someone comes in and gets 12.
That was really a result of the SHD process, which was the fast track planning process. That in many instances the board, not in many instances, in some instances,
but they ignored the county development.
That won't happen anymore.
Did they have the right in law? I mean, it was challenged, and a number of judges took the view that they didn't have the right to override it, but others just let it go.
Well, there were different rulings on that. I think they were taken on a case by case basis. But I think you've made a very good point. What happened because of those instances and the fact that communities didn't feel that they had their say, or individuals, they ended up going to court. We're seeing a reduction in judicial reviews now since I got
rid of
that.
Nobody wants to. It's too expensive.
No, but it is. And look,
so if there's another better way, people will go that other better way.
What we've done as well is, look, judicial reviews, the number of them has reduced. And I think that's reduced since I got rid of the fast track planning. In this legislation now, there's a cost scheme as well for judicial reviews that would help communities and individuals, but also keep the legal costs down on these cases. Because delays in planning on good developments, like, what does that mean to the person on the street? It means additional cost. It means less homes. It means less homes for their sons and their daughters. It means delays in schools. I've seen objections to schools across.
Now, this brings me to a report we did on Port Round on Abate.
Place I know very well.
And the people there are complaining that the infrastructure is not there, be it the rail infrastructure, the ability to get rapid transit or public transport to and from, no places in the schools or the creches for their kids, and 4,000 more houses or homes coming on stream.
Yes.
That should not happen.
Look, I acknowledge absolutely the concerns
of residents. It's your constituency.
It is indeed, and I know Donabay Port ran extremely well. Lots of friends there and neighbours that are a wonderful place, by the way, with fantastic amenities. And I listened to the show that you had there, and that's acknowledged as well. I think it was Anne Hogan and Philip were on with you as well. Yeah. And what was good there is Philip, who's a new resident, has moved in the last 2 years.
And very active.
Very active, which is great. It's a great community. We've great sports clubs, very good community facilities. We need more. We do have a designation for a new school site in relation to public transport as well, because on the rail line there, we've had issues in the last few weeks which have been resolved. But DART Plus will be coming in 2026. Additional capacity, very important.
But you know what I mean? It's about joining the dots before.
Understood.
You put a shovel in the ground.
I think what happened, particularly in Donabay, look, we're seeing a lot of development in North County Dublin and Swords and Donabay Port Rann and Rush and Lusk as well. And that does pose challenges for existing communities. In fairness to the people in Donabay and Port Rann, they're not against housing. They want housing for their sons and daughters.
Amenities.
They want amenities, and I agree with them. And what we're doing is, if you take it one example, that in Balmoston, which is the estate that the state is building, which is a fantastic development of 1,200 homes, 250 affordable, 250 social, the rest private. Adjacent to that, as I turn this out on that site, which is now people are starting to move in, adjacent to that is the new sports hub there, which will be new playing pitches there, new running track, all of these. But in fairness...
Is that open?
No, it's being built right now.
It's being built.
But there's good facilities there. But yes, we do need more. And there's been pressure on schools in that area. And that's something that we need to do better on.
Yeah.
There is a new school site designated there
as well. See, I'm wondering, in the new law, it's 800 pages long or whatever.
Yes.
So in the fine print, is there something that compels the board to look at, you know, the kind of population that's likely to be living in these places, whether they're going to be families or single people or whatever, and therefore, are the amenities there? Is there a shop? Is there a public transport node? Is there
all of these
a school?
Things, look,
are they compelled to do that before they grant permission?
A planning authority can absolutely have regard. I think it goes back to the development
plan.
Are
they compelled, though?
Well, they have to have discretion in any decision. But
hasn't that been the bane of the planning process?
I think the main,
discretion.
I think the main issue is delivery on development plans. I think if you take with Donabay Portrane, what happened is you did a development plan that had been there for some time and a lot of areas were designated for development. Development didn't happen for 10 years, and a lot has happened in a very short space of time. And I think that is the challenge that residents and...
But will they be compelled, the board, under and indeed local councils, not to grant permission, even though they're dying for density and they're dying for housing because of the demands of the population, but they must not give permission unless... The water's there, the sewage is
there,
the schools are there.
I can tell you now that they won't give permission unless there's services there, such as water, electricity and those type of things. What needs to be very clear is you're not just building homes, we have to build communities and community infrastructure. And I agree with Anne and Philip and what they said, and I have lots of friends in Donabay. I know it really well. The place, look, the infrastructure has improved there over time. It needs to go a step further. And I think what has happened there is, in a very short space of time, a lot of really good development, I might add. And I know the new people who are moving in. I've met people who've bought their forever home who are moving in there. Really good people who get involved in their community. But we're seeing those challenges in communities across the country too. And I think everyone understands we need more homes for our people. And I, as minister, have delivered up to quarter two this year, 116,000 new homes in this country in a short space of time. We will do much more by the end of the year. But we need to be building communities, not just homes. And that's why engagement...
in the bill, are the board compelled to look at all of these things before they grant a permission?
The bill isn't prescriptive in decision-making. And I think any planner needs to have and a planning authority needs to have discretion and understand what's on the ground. What I would say to you very clearly, the guidance for that and where the bill comes into it is national planning statements. So what are they? Basically, they are the policies of government setting down what open space is, what densities are.
But I mean, this is one of the problems we had before. So you get a planning application that goes in that's utterly inappropriate because there's not enough green space for kids, no playgrounds or whatever. And they say, oh, well, there's a park 5K away, which is more than a buggy push away for a mother and child. And they say, well, the reason we're giving this is because of national policy. The minister wants more housing. That's the kind of stuff we want to get away from.
It is, and I think we are away from that, to be honest with you. I think if you look at the developments that have been built over the last few years in particular, extremely well designed, good amenities, very good open space that's intertwined, good permeability between areas, very good active travel routes as well, like places for walking, for cycling, that type of thing.
It is a curate's egg, though. Some people don't get all of that. And
in all honesty, I've travelled around the 26 counties numerous times in this job, and I see the quality of the developments, not just in the homes themselves, but in the design of them. And I think we're a long way away from where we were.
But they still count the balcony as part of the recreational or amenity space, which is bats.
Pat, they
add all the balconies up and they say, oh, that's recreational space. I mean, how mad is that?
Well, if I look at the developments that we're building right around the country, I haven't seen on new developments a dearth of community facilities. If anything, what's being done now is the right way, is community facilities are going in first and those amenities are well designed within each development. So I think we're a long way away from where we were.
But are we compelling that, or are we depending on the good offices of a developer?
No, we're not depending on the good offices of a developer, to be very clear. That will be driven by government policy under the planning guidelines, which will become, under this legislation, national planning statements. And what's the difference? National planning statements are government direction, not just guidelines, direction. And that will be direct, like I have done in relation to the Compact Urban Growth Guidelines, is to have the best of design that we can have, and the best of open space and amenities going alongside with those developments, and also being clear about how you phase them. Okay, well, you used to drive people mad as well. A big development and everything was to come afterwards. That doesn't happen anymore.
Okay. A couple of final things. Remote objections. Mm-hmm. Someone in County Kerry objecting to something in Roscommon. Is that gone?
Pretty much. Yes, pretty much gone. You would have to actually show how a development has an impact on you. Unless you're from an environmental grounds, one of the designated NGOs that can actually make an observation on it. But no more can we have someone from Castlebar objecting to something in Cashel. I think people understand that's not the way it should be. We've also been very clear within it about when observations are made, that a statutory declaration is made as well by someone to say, well, you know, they're not making the objection just to delay the project or to seek any monetary gain from putting that objection down.
Okay, this one here. Two main issues with the Planning and Development Bill. There were amendments to the bill that never got airtime to debate before the vote. Every amendment has an impact on the effectiveness of the bill. Mm-hmm. Judicial reviews at present can only be taken if there's a point of law to be determined. Judicial review is already not easy to secure. The bill makes it harder for residents groups to take a judicial review. What are they afraid of? That's from Councillor Alan Hayes, Deputy Mayor of South Dublin County Council.
No, it doesn't. It certainly doesn't make it harder for people. Judicial reviews can be taken if someone sees there's a problem with the process as well, not just on a specific.
But if it's a monstrosity and there's nothing wrong with the law, what then?
Yeah, but it's for our professional planners to decide. Your idea of monstrosity and mine might be different, you know, and that's the thing. But just what I would say to you is that this legislation will, in my view, and in many, many people's view, and in the Dáil's view most importantly, because it was voted on last night, greatly improve our planning system, will make it efficient, will make it transparent as well. And we need transparency around our system. But fundamentally within it, it fully respects the rights of the individual or communities to have their say too. And that's very important. And that is absolutely a clear principle within this legislation.
Proof of the pudding will be in the
it
eating.
Will.
Minister Darragh O'Brien, I know you have to be in the Shannon. Thank you very much.
You're very
for
welcome,
in and
Pat.
Talking to us today.
Thank you.
All right.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.